24, 2020. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful, man. How are you?
I am well. Now, before people start getting too excited, this is a special appearance that you proposed that I very was glad to accept. And this is for the community. This is for to support our fellow podcasters who are dealing with their own family issues. And I'm excited to do this little fun little one-off with you and catch up.
Yeah, no, I think this will be great. I was born out of, I guess let's start with thoughts and prayers to Dr. Mike and his family.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, you had made it a point to kind of offset with them, and with everything going on currently, I don't know when you can bet on that we'll be back. And I didn't think it would be so easy for you to get a guest on one day's notice. So you wanting to put out an episode for the community to, I guess, have gambling content on Thursdays as is, you know, I'm happy to fill in.
Well, I'm excited to do this. And, you know, so I can't remember who he was responding to, but Mark responded to someone saying, "You could replace me, but you can never replace Dr. Mike." And then not that I think that Mark Duvall is replaceable, but I appreciated his sentiment of I'm not bringing in someone else to replace my co-host because I think he's where the value is in this show. Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So
and that was I'm drawing a blank on his name. The guy who likes to bowl that we met in Vegas.
Oh, Michael James.
Michael James. That's yeah, who yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. So Michael, thanks for thinking of me. But I'll echo Mark Duvall. Nobody can fill in for Dr. Mike.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could
fill, or
you
Mark.
Could,
or
I,
Mark
well, here's the thing. I think you could fill in for Mark, and I think Mark would agree with me there.
No, because I can't process or edit the show. So, I mean, somebody has to be able to do the production, and Mike and I would look at each other and, you know, kind of shrug our shoulders and leave it on an iPad and walk away.
You guys would have a wonderful conversation. None of it would get recorded.
It's called a telephone call. We do that right from time to time, and yeah. You know, it can be entertaining, but you know, that's where it would stay.
Yeah. Let's start with the question that's probably at the front of a lot of people's minds. Have you been gambling? It's been about 3-4 months since we said farewell to on episode 100. In that span, what sort of gambling have you done?
It's been light. It's been very light. So sports betting stopped with around Korean baseball. The professional sports that have come back, I'm going to tread lightly here. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not suggesting that the cause is unjust or that the gripe is not real, but I don't want politics in my sports. So I've really not watched any of the, professional sports that have come back. Not boycotting on purpose, just I guess I feel like I've got better things to do with my time. You know what, I'll tell you what, this is how I'll get this provocative. The Mets played the Cubs, I think it was, and as the game was about to start, they put a Black Lives Matter t-shirt over home plate and walked off the field. And again, I'm not saying that their cause is unjust, but if they don't care enough to play the game, I don't care enough to watch the games. And I'm not going to put in the time to handicap and bet on the game. So gambling's been down quite a bit. I'm not doing the sports betting nearly as much. I've got my entry in the 33 pool with our buddy Ed, which requires no skill or handicapping whatsoever.
I was on the bubble for that, by the way. I was on the bubble, but
so if I had dropped out, you might have gotten in.
That's exactly right. I blame it on you now. Where were you? Where? How can you hook me up?
That's actually why I stayed in the pool. Ed actually called me up. He was like, "I need you to keep the riffraff out. Can you just stay in a little bit longer?" So you know, play your cards right. Maybe next year you'll get in.
Yeah.
Casinos not really happening. And online gambling, you know, I was doing that, not that we're out of the pandemic, but during like the lockdown of the pandemic, I was doing that. I'm not really doing that much either.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot to add to a gambling podcast. That's for sure.
The listeners have heard my my hodgepodge, if I will, of gambling over the past past few months.
There's been a hodgepodge.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I've listened to every episode, but the one where you went to National Harbor, got to play a little video poker and take a stroll. That was entertaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't been back since, right? No, I haven't been back since. Okay, let's, you have a list of things that you felt that were gambling or casino related that you felt, confident you could, opine on. So, let's just go down the list. Hotel or the house always wins. And, you know what? This is a different story than I even thought it was. So when I saw you have the first item here called House Always Wins, I thought you were referring to an article that was just published on Medium, I think, that someone shared with the group someone's essentially saying math is the reason you shouldn't gamble. Essentially saying gambling is negative EV, you should never gamble, which, look, I understand that, just at that one face value, like that one value. Yeah, sure. I kind of get that, but it completely took away or took out all aspects of fun or just, you know, like enjoyment, like the entertainment factor of it, like that you couldn't possibly enjoy your time at the casino. Therefore the casino is simply a money transaction that you were always going to lose, which I thought was kind of obnoxious just based off of that really horrible summary of what the article is about. Oh, you saw it. You responded to,
I did.
That's right. I did, here. Yeah, I am trying to mansplain this to you. And you already know. Well, what were your thoughts when you saw this?
Well, listen, I mean, we've had this conversation, I think, a few times in the past, right? Going to the movies is negative EV.
Right.
Right. Like you're not going to make money doing most things.
Especially if you saw Jaws 2. Oh, what a rip.
Well, in any event, most recreational activity is negative EV, right? Yeah. There is an expense associated with your entertainment. And as long as that expense is one that is justifiable based upon your means and or desire to participate in this, then I think it's fine.
I don't chase a golf ball around a course because I walk away with more money, right? Like, you know, like,
well, I mean, if you're good at it, you could walk away with more money, but right. That's not the reason most of us do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, look, I tend to agree. If you take it at, you know, just the math, then you're right. And I think there are a fair amount of sharp bettors that probably agree with that statement. They don't find recreational benefit in what they're doing. So if they don't have an edge, they don't play. And then there's the vast majority of recreational gamblers where they're there to have a good time. And by the time you factor in the drinks and the camaraderie and, you know, all the stuff happening today, then, or not today, just in general, right? Like then it becomes a value prop that's worth their while, even if it's negative EV.
The camaraderie aspect of it, I think, is something that I personally have undervalued. Like, I know how much I enjoy it. I forget how much more valuable those sessions are versus other sessions sometimes. And that, I mean, I'm not saying that, that I really put much thought into that, but I'm always, of course, looking forward to things like that. But we often think about gambling trips as just like the opportunity to gamble, opportunity to play, stuff like that. And I always, I enjoy it enough to where I don't really think about this, but even like with one more person at the table that you enjoy having around, almost exponentially can make the game more fun.
It's kind of like sex. I mean, you can do it alone, but it's not really this thing.
Oh, man. All right. The link that you sent under the heading, The House Always Wins, it's from casino.org. Hotel industry on brink of collapse. Resorts warn more layoffs without federal relief. What about this did you want to comment on?
So it's hotels in general, but the name, now the article does come from casino.org, but the named hotels that are petitioning for bailout money are the large casino conglomerates. And, you know, I have thoughts about bailouts to corporations when it comes to federal tax dollars. And I think it's interesting. Now, I mean, they're painting a very bleak picture. I think they're saying 3 out of 4 hotels, not just casinos, but hotels, will go out of business in America. They can't sustain the losses that they're taking unless there is some form of federal bailout. Now, you know, they have to, I think, make wild claims in order to get money. But, you know, whether it is financial institutions that are too big to fail, or it's airlines that we need to keep in business in order to kind of keep things moving, I think I can make a case for, you know, a fair amount of money to go into things that are there for the greater good. Hotels/casinos, I don't know that I feel comfortable with federal money, federal tax dollars being used for that purpose.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if I have, I don't know if I have further thoughts beyond just sort of generally agreeing with that sentiment.
Yeah, so like they go a little bit into detail about possibly having PPP loans extended specifically so that hotel employees are able to be maintained, that there not be further layoffs. You know, we did that group chat thing with Michael and Heather and... You know where I'm going to go with this, right?
Yeah.
And Meltzer, right? So it was, what was it? You, me, Meltzer, Michael, and Heather from Vegas Aces.
Right.
Right. And her point was that you have to, you know, support the dealers. And I said, well, you know, if it's at a place that I don't want to support, I'm not going to just go in and give them my money. And she said, well, then don't give the money to the hotel, just give the money to the dealer. And I was like, well, but the hotel, they have employees too, right? Like if we're going to spend our money to take care of the employees, those employees count too. I could see maybe there being a PPP extension for them, for the employees, but for the general upkeep of hotels and casinos, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want them to go out of business. We need as much competition as possible for this to be a player-friendly scenario.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I, you know, if it was given to me, I don't know that I could sign off on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have further anything else to say other than I generally agree with that. It's let's actually go to this next. Attention to cleanliness has already started to falter at some casinos. Cleaning spots and chairs and tables is being done, but reportedly in some casinos, half-assed at best, going through the motions. So something that some of, like me and my friends have talked about is this, look, obviously cleaning surfaces is important, but, the more we learn about this becoming an airborne virus and less so much, a surface, like a contact, transmitted, virus, I'm curious as to, does it just look bad that we expect them to clean surfaces frequently and they're not? Or do we think there's legitimate health risks being here? Like how bad is the transgression here, you think?
So it's not my firsthand experience to share, but I've been told by that two people have definite stories and a third person kind of just agreed with what they've seen. When the casinos first reopened, and these are all Atlantic City, by the way, so I don't want to impugn any other area. This is Atlantic City specific that the stories have been told to me. When everything reopened, there was attention to detail and things were getting cleaned regularly. They were going out of their way to show that, cleanliness was going to be a big part of what these casinos did going forward. They had to, for some of us, you know, I think you and I would be a good example, right? Like if we felt that they were doing everything they could to keep it clean, we'd be likely to come back sooner than if that were questionable.
Yeah.
Right. So the stories that I've heard, and it isn't any one property, there've been a couple of properties mentioned. They started out, like, as soon as you got up from a table, they would put some kind of marker down to let them know that it needs to be cleaned. They'd be spraying down the table, the chair. If it was a place that had those plexiglass dividers, they were being cleaned. And then I started hearing that, well, it's being cleaned, but it's really like one spray and a wipe so that they can show that they're doing something.
Guy just taking a shirt and just sort of rubbing it a little bit and be like, all right, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that it's quite to that point, but it was definitely like, all right, we had like a surge and then the surge died down. And this is purely conjecture, right? Like I wasn't even there to see it myself, but I think it's pretty reasonable to believe that as things have kind of settled down, at least here in New Jersey, people aren't taking it quite as seriously, right? Both the patrons and the employees. And it, you know, they've got rules that they have to follow, but I'm hearing a couple of times now that they're seeing it get a little sloppy and that the attention to detail is not there. And maybe, you know, people are checking a box because they need to check a box, but nothing's really getting done. And maybe you're right. Maybe part of it is that the belief now is that it is not transmitted quite so well off of surfaces. So, you know, maybe it doesn't need to be as good, but that is apparently or allegedly what's happening.
Yeah. I think that humans really struggle with prevention, because prevention is something you cannot prove, right? So I'm going to get a little dark in explaining this, but I think for me, it's the easiest way to explain it.
Wait. Before you get dark, I need to do something. I have to get prepared for the dark.
Very good. There it is. Right, on okay. Brand with a Miller Lite.
There you go, brother. Go ahead. Please get dark.
So when I was doing content on suicide prevention, I always compared the reactive nature that suicide prevention has in our society to how it should be proactive, like other parts of our health. Like, so if I go to a physician and I show, if I am concerned about heart disease, I don't need to be showing symptoms for my physician to give me, tips on how to prevent heart disease, right? I'm going to be told to don't smoke, exercise, take care of yourself, stuff like that. I may never, ever, ever show symptoms for heart disease. I may never know if any of those things actually, quote unquote, prevented heart disease, but those are the proper steps to prevent heart disease. And that we as a society, especially, you know, when it comes to, like I said, the darker side of my example here, suicide prevention, You don't know that you prevented a suicide. You're like, unless someone came out and said, hey, what you did, you know, kept me from doing this. And I think similarly with what we're experiencing now, if they keep services clean, if we use our masks and stuff like that, I can't prove, hey, I didn't transmit this to you, really, unless there's a scenario in which I test positive and I know that I was likely infected during a time of our interaction, right? That's, you know, like, it would take a lot of information to know that transmitting the virus was actually prevented. So I think that we're dealing with some undisciplined human drive, and this is something that all humans sort of struggle with at some parts of their lives, and just believing that it's a lot of tedious work that no one wants to do. That's probably the front thing. It's like looking, thinking, just you explaining to me what they were doing, I was like, goodness, that's tedious. Like, that sounds so tedious. But it has to be done for the sake of prevention, something that we can't prove until it's disproved, right? So, there's my long monologue on health and prevention, and it may or may not have applied. I don't know.
This is what people come here for, right? They want to hear. They want to hear our latest thoughts on COVID-19 and how it affects gambling.
Yeah, you remember those reasons why Eric left the show? Well, he's back to remind you why.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. when I went to MGM, however long ago that was, month ago, whatever, I was pleased at how much protocol was applied and that I thought was being done. But just the gap between what, like the few instances where it wasn't being maintained was enough for me to feel like there was too much risk and liability in being there. And that was like just a small margin. I personally can't imagine being at a casino where what you're explaining is happening and feeling comfortable with being in the venue. So
speaking of being comfortable being in a venue, we had very briefly contemplated a road trip to a casino.
Yes.
And then thought better of it and backed out. But there
was glad you reminded me that it was likely indoors, because you were about 2 minutes behind. You were 2 minutes ahead of me buying tickets. I was so close to buying a ticket and being like, whatever, he comes, he'll come. If not, I'll go by myself. And then you were like, hey, it's probably gonna be an indoor venue. Like, yeah. The Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Which they're no one to mess with, if you didn't know that.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah, and cash rules everything around them. Cash rules everything around me. Wu-Tang Clan, I saw them in Russia, of all places. There was nothing like watching a bunch of white Russian men yelling Wu-Tang in support of a big group of black guys. It was it was actually culturally really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Method Man and Red Man were not there at that particular concert. And so I have been waiting for an opportunity to see them with likely at least one of those two artists. And when I saw that Wu-Tang was going to be at Mohegan Sun, I was like, this is my opportunity. I think I can at least like go, and I don't have to even like really go to the casino. I'll just go to the concert. Maybe I'll walk around the casino. Doesn't matter. And then I was reminded it's likely indoors and I probably shouldn't be at a large group of goodness, the concerts are already kind of hot and stuffy. Throw a mask on, it's not even enjoyable.
I mean, I think it's kind of comical that the two of us would make our return to a casino. You would likely have to fly, and I mean, for me, it's a heck of a hike too.
Yeah,
and we're going to see Wu-Tang, but I mean, anybody who knows us well enough, you know, it's comical, right? Yeah. But I mean, it is who we are. That was very likely going to be the return. And yeah, I thought about it, you know,
Mohegan Sun
has they've got a great arena. They really do. It's one of the great things about the property.
Is that where the Connecticut Sun play? That same arena?
Yes, but no. So it's together, but it's not, I, you know, it's been a while since I've been there.
Okay.
Where I went for a concert was right next to where you go for, where the Sun play.
Okay.
I don't know if their concert part is separated or if they convert it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't go there often enough to know the answer, but I've definitely been to multiple concerts there. As well as games, they're in the exact same place. I just don't know if they're next to each other or if it's converted.
Oh, very good. Well, I will. Oh, the next opportunity for a concert to possibly pull me into a casino. This, of course, will be. I'll make another risk assessment on do I want to be in a group of people, whatever. But Aaron Lewis, who was the lead singer of Stained.
Yeah.
I saw Stained when I was a teenager. I think they might have had one, maybe two albums out by that point. I think they actually just had two. I think they had two mainstream albums out at that point. It's Been a While had just gotten big, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have been a big fan of Aaron Lewis as a songwriter and Stained as a band. I know Aaron Lewis being a solo performer is very different than Stained, right? He has his own like country music and stuff like that. But I have heard that he will play some Stained songs, and I have been interested in seeing him as a solo act for a while now. So I know that he is amazingly, I mean, I guess the teenager in me has the hardest time wrapping my head around this because I just, Stain was one of these bands that I worshipped as a teenager, right? Like, they're so amazing. It's crazy to me that Aaron Lewis is the level of artist that makes the mid-sized concert venue at casinos rounds, right? Like it's difficult for me to grasp that, but you know, I suppose 20 years later and being right. himself not with a band, it makes perfect sense. But the when I see his name and then see where he's playing, I'm like, that just, to me it took me a while to realize that, yeah, I guess it really makes sense. And it I think it's not until you become an adult and you start watching your favorite artists go from being huge, selling out arenas to mid-sized casino venues, that you truly see the trajectory of a music artist and what the realities are on how difficult it is for even legends to sell tickets.
So I'm a little bit older than you. I think, what am I, like 7 years older than you, I think?
No. Are you? How old are you?
I'm 40.
You're only 5 years older than me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So 2 years different, whatever.
Well, anyway. I mean, it's, but that 2 years puts us a lot closer in the generation of music, though.
Okay. So in any event, I have seen Stained in my 20s. I went to shows a lot. I've seen Stained probably at least a dozen times.
Wow.
Okay. So I get it. And they did a lot of, a lot of concerts up here where they had like a number of major bands together. So it wasn't just Stain I was going to see, but they came around a lot and they were
like the Family Values Tour that they would go on with.
Yes. Family Values Tour. Exactly.
Yeah.
So my younger brother was a huge Korn fan. Right. So we did a lot of concerts that we would go to together that anyway, that this is either Patreon or not going to make the show either way. It's really interesting to me.
You may not be getting an episode of You Can Bet on That, but boy, are you in luck. Eric and I are going to talk more about COVID and how we're not going to the casino and about going to concerts 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm really not sure what we're doing here.
I'm having a good time. Don't care if they're not or not.
I'm well, yeah, but we're doing it for them. So
that's fair.
You know, any other day I would say it doesn't matter, but today, maybe this was done with good intent, but it was well intended, but poorly executed.
20 minutes later. And that was my third Korn concert.
Anyway, I guess where I was going with this is I remember being younger and going to shows and going to casinos and then not liking any of the acts that were at the casino because it was for old people.
Yeah.
Now I'm an old person and the acts that are at the casino are for me.
Oh boy, do they know their target audience. Huh?
They really do. They really do. It's really kind of cool. And I'm excited for a time when, you know, things get back to some semblance of normalcy and I can go see bands that I like at venues that I like to go to.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get a comp ticket here or there. And like, this can just continue. Like, you don't need to be, I don't need to go to MetLife Stadium to be with 80,000 people for a concert. If this is somebody that I want to see and the venue will seat 500, terrific. I think that's great.
What's the best concert, biggest name, however you want to answer this question, that you've seen at a casino?
Oh, so I really like Three Doors Down, and I had a VIP package at what was at one time Sands Bethlehem, and you got to like hang out with them before the show.
Cool.
That was the best experience. You know, not that they were ever like a super, you know, popular group, but you know,
when I was a teenager, they were pretty big. So,
okay. Well, I mean, big, you know, but not, they're not top tier. They were never top tier.
Yeah. But everybody knows who they are. Right. Sure. I mean, they're that kind of band, right?
Sure. I think that was the best experience at a casino, for seeing a band.
So I really only have one answer to this because I don't think I've seen I've seen a few concerts around casinos in Vegas and stuff like that, but I think the, I mean, Cher, right? So I saw Cher at MGM National Harbor. I didn't go to the casino. I wasn't staying there or anything like that, right? It's literally 10 minutes down the road. I got the tickets for free, which was awesome. And she obviously was the biggest name, and we enjoyed it. I saw Slaughterhouse at Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas, but that's, but it's not the, it's the actual Hard Rock that's on the Strip, not, not, it wasn't the casino, right? It was like, it was the Hard Rock Cafe that's right on the Strip there. Otherwise,
Caesar's, or what's, the one at Caesars, or the one that, never mind, that's not.
No, it's like across from like Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. Those are the, like, those are like in it, like that wasn't at a, technically at a casino. Otherwise, I don't think I've actually seen music acts. Oh, I saw Garth Brooks at the Wynn. What the fuck am I talking about? That concert was awesome. So, you don't look impressed by any of these.
I'm waiting for when I can ask who you went to go see Cher with.
Oh, The Better Wife.
Okay. All right. I'll
and this is how I told her. I called her and I was like, do you believe in life after love? And she knew right away.
Okay. All right. So I was wondering if I'd have to take your man card on the spot. The fact that you brought The Better Wife, I guess.
Okay. I saw a legend of my lifetime for free with my wife.
Did you?
Did I what?
See a legend of your lifetime with your wife for free?
How is she not? You don't think Cher's a legend of our lifetime?
I mean,
dude, like, I don't know if this conversation will stay in because we're going way off the rails of this one.
I don't think we're on the rails at any point. You might need to restart. Like, I don't know what we've covered that belongs in the episode.
Yeah, hold on, let's
Thursday, September 24th, 2020. This is the better... Go ahead, Tim.
So, Eric, I had a lot of action on Tiddlywinks lately. By the way, who didn't see this coming? I brag about my winnings last week, right? I'm like, week after week after week, it's just coming in. I play this little game with the followers, with Twitter followers on the Saturday games. I'll give you one guess of how well Saturday went for me.
10-24.
You saw the record?
Come on, I'm watching.
Yeah.
Just because I'm silently judging from the sidelines. I'm not going to interact with your Tiddlywinks tweets, but you know, I mean, I'm watching.
Not only did I go 10-24, but some of the larger bets that I had were some of the losers. So, In a sport where I'm playing a lot of plus money plays, I don't need to have a winning record to have a winning day.
Right.
But when the big plays are losing, it doesn't go there. Have you bet any? You just told us about like your gambling. I kind of miss this, but have you bet the NFL since it started?
Not a game.
Not a game, huh?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Do you find yourself like checking scores or anything? Nope. No.
Nope. Not interested.
Presidential race, got any action on that?
I do.
You can even say it apolitically. Where's your action? You don't have to say.
I've got a spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a locked in profit.
Did you take a flyer on Kanye?
No.
There was a moment where I was like, you know what? America's crazy enough for this to happen.
You know, right? It's 2020. I don't think anything would
wrong.
Shock me. I don't think anything would shock me right now. I don't even want to start, but I was able to get Trump at solid plus money.
Okay.
And I was able to get off the wager with a guaranteed profit. So,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a big one, but a guaranteed profit. Yeah.
Okay. Now look, I'm going to try to get through this as apolitically as possible. I have only been paying attention to betting on politics for, I think I may have been paying attention a little bit during Obama Romney, But it wasn't until Trump Hillary that I really started paying attention, right?
I took a fucking bath on that one.
Yo, I know so you are not the only person that I've heard say that they laid some serious money on on the loser. But something that I've kind of noticed, and this is commentary on you getting Trump at a really big number, is an election year is kind of like one long in-game fluctuation.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because you're going to wake up one day, ratings are going to be bad, something's going to be good on the other side, and the lines are going to fluctuate. And so I think if you look, and I mean, who knows how volatile politics lines, maybe in the future but I mean, goodness, if there was ever a year where America can't make up its mind on how it feels about anything, it has made up its mind. It just keeps on pumping. It keeps on pumping rhetoric into things fluctuating, but I'm not surprised. I may be able to try to guess at at what point of the year it was, but I don't even have to try. I can think of a few points of the year. I'm like, yep, Trump was. Are you comfortable saying what the line was? You don't say how much you bet, but
got plus 160 on Trump.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what the polls say. This is a coin flip. And, my biggest concern and the reason why I was willing to get off the bet and guarantee a profit, it isn't that I didn't think there was value in the bet. It's that I don't know how long that bet will take to cash. Right? Like, no matter who is declared the victor,
yeah,
I don't have any certainty in how the bet will be graded when it's being contested.
Yeah.
And I think it's likely to be contested no matter who's declared the victor.
I agree. So, I think if there was a way to make that wager, that's the one I would bury. Yeah, if I could find something on how long, on either how long it took or whatever, or however they can make the line, I would bury that. Because there's no way, it doesn't matter how landslide it is one way or the other. And like you said, it's going to be a lot closer than what people are trying to make it out to be. There's no way we wake up in the morning and a loser just accepts it. There's no way. Offers all over the boards. Now, I don't get a whole lot of offers, so I can't say this. Agree or disagree. It was interesting how long it took for offers to start coming back, though, right? Of course, casinos, there was uncertainty on when they were going to be open to make offers, but I got a few. Ocean has been very sporadic. I'll get a few, and then I'll get nothing. I'm not really paying attention to AC. Have they dealt with having to close and open a few times?
They haven't had to close and open a few times. Since they've been able to open, they were able to open. What they did was they opened and then almost right away, Governor Murphy said you can't have any food or drink inside.
That's right.
Which meant you weren't even allowed to have a bottle of water on the casino floor.
That's right.
So you either had to eat in your hotel room or out of the parking lot. I mean, it was unless you were a hardcore gambler, there were not a lot of good reasons to go to Atlantic City during that rather extended window.
I have noticed you have mentioned here that some places are being generous with offers. Others have dried up in absence, and that Caesars and MGM doing plenty of air packages. I've actually noticed that myself. I have actually been getting some emails for Beau Rivage.
Well, so the whole area, right? So both the Beau and Harrah's are sending packages. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has anything been good? I know you have your health and your family's health as a priority. So, answer this question with me, knowing that I fully understand that. Sure. But has an offer come through? What's the best offer you've gotten that's made you think, how could I make this work?
$550 in free play per day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will you say who sent that to you?
That was Beau Rivage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I got 300 in free play from MGM Springfield. Now that doesn't require an airplane. That just requires, you know, a long drive. But that wasn't 300 a day. That was 300 for the trip. It was 300 a day. Probably would have considered that. You know, a lot of it has to do with required quarantine. I can go to Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I think Massachusetts is on the list of places I can go. But there's like 30 states that if I go there, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks when I come back.
Yeah.
I actually had some time where I thought I was going to give you a call. Maybe I'd come down and visit, say hello. I can't see you without quarantining for 2 weeks.
Right.
So, you know, that's really, I've become more comfortable with the idea of going, but the practicality of it, it just doesn't make sense.
I can't remember. I've gotten nothing nearly as lucrative as any of that, but I have gotten room offers and heavily discounted suite offers from Vegas that had me check airfares. I will admit that.
There have definitely been Vegas offers that were like, you know, before the gunshots and the civil unrest and everything else that adds to the COVID risk of going to Las Vegas. With all of the factors at play, it's unlikely. And I even started looking like, all right, I want to be at the Circa opening. Maybe I can make that work. And the offer is not from Circa, but other casinos in the general area could have made it worth my while to go. But I think the idea of going to a spectacle where all these people are going to be at once is probably not the right idea for me. But I've definitely looked. I've checked flights. I've daydreamed about it. I've considered the opportunity. But nothing in Vegas that I think warrants the overall level of risk that it would be to me or for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I did admit on the last episode, which I know that you heard, that Circa had gotten me excited enough to not consider going to the casino opening, but to possibly check it out after it had fully opened and sometime in early 2021. Now, I don't know if you remember, Eric, and I have not been able to locate the file to know what the exact date was, but we placed a charity bet on the opening of Circa.
We did. I believe, so that I was in Kansas City when we,
yes,
one of those episodes from Kansas City. I want to say I had the over on some date in December.
Yes. So without being able to recall what the actual date was, here's where I think we need a ruling. Is the casino opening prior to that date making me the winner, or is the hotel not opening and it being a fully open resort till after that date make you the winner? Or is it a push?
I think you're the winner.
Oh, okay.
I think you're the winner. I don't think we specified hotel. I think the property will be open for business. And frankly, if I had the over in late December, then you'd win on the hotel too. So as far as I'm concerned, let me make a check payable to what charity?
Let's go with Team Rubicon, since it's storm season. They're doing some good work in an especially challenging time. Let's support them.
Okay. Team Rubicon it is.
Yeah. This is probably the only time that I possibly will go to Vegas in the next 6 months is if I decide to go specifically to visit Circa in first quarter 2021. Now, you're probably thinking, why not pass that? Well, certain things in my life kind of change a little bit come second quarter 2021, so I'll have to figure out how to maneuver that. But that if I were to be in Vegas, that would be the reason why. Now, you brought up, and I think it's at least worth entertaining for a minute or two here, considering everything that's going on, not just the pandemic, but civil unrest, shootings apparently going off on the strip, stuff like that.
Fighting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fighting and whatnot. Is it a liability for Circa to try to open?
No.
Okay.
No, it's I don't.
If all that happened downtown, would the answer be any different?
No.
Like if that happened at the D?
No. I think in the very, very near future, I mean, before Circa opens, there's going to need to be an enhanced police presence. And I don't follow Vegas like I used to. So admittedly, there may be more going on that I'm unaware of.
Yeah.
I don't think these properties can allow, on top of everything else, Vegas to get a name for being an unsafe place for visitors based upon physical harm.
Yeah.
I don't think they can allow that to happen. I think they're going to have financial issues for years to come. And I think that's like a game changer, right?
Yeah.
Like when I first started going to Vegas, I was told not to go to Fremont Street because it wasn't safe. And it wasn't safe. And it really took a lot of time, energy, and money into changing Fremont for it to become a destination.
Yeah.
And I think if the money isn't spent on security now, like now, to make everybody feel that it's a safe place to go, I mean, if tourism dollars dry up, there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah.
It's just they're going to be in a world of hurt. So it's an imperative.
I can prepare myself due to proper protocol and safety precautions to visit during a pandemic. I can tell myself to not go to crowded areas during nighttime, stuff like that. But if I can't properly exit enter and exit my hotel in the reasonable evening hours without thinking that there could be a physical threat for no obvious reason, it's intimidating.
Well, Vegas is built upon there not being reasonable hours for you to come and go from your hotel room, right? So if they can't, and I don't want to say guarantee safety, right? There's always things that happen, but they're on the cusp of a real perception problem.
Yeah.
And if they can't knock that out in the very near future, it isn't Circa's liability that I would worry about. It would be the overall, I think the overall economy in general in Las Vegas is going to be, it's going to be a difficult uphill either way. That's going to set them back quite a bit further than even the pandemic would.
Yeah. You have mentioned here sportsbooks trying to get back in front of mass markets, offering plenty of offers to existing customers to bring them back. Now, I am not a part of these systems quite yet, so I'm not quite sure what you're talking about here, but I am curious because one of the things that I've thought about doing over the next couple of months is taking small day trips or overnight trips to states in my area where I can remain isolated and finally taking advantage of all the signup offers that I should have taken advantage of like a year and a half ago. But what are you saying? You're saying to bring existing customers back. Now, if there's something we know about companies in general, offers are all, and we've all seen an offer that looked cool and then read the terms that is for new customers only and thought, well, why can't I be, treated a little better here? But you're telling me that you're seeing offers just to keep your business.
Well, so I'm not even making wagers, right? So like PointsBet, the last 3 weeks, it's been deposit 200, get 400 in free bets.
Wow.
Each week.
That's so huge.
Yeah. So I've got, I took advantage of two of the offers that I saw in time. So I've got $800 in free bets at PointsBet and only a $400 cash account. And I've got until I think middle of October for
it's action. Crazy.
Yeah. But they're not the only one. I think they're the most aggressive one that we're seeing. And by the way, so Bally's, which was sold to Twin Rivers, Bally's Atlantic City, is going to be a PointsBet sportsbook, which means PointsBet will finally have a proper window
Where, oh man, where was it before?
Well, it'll still be. They'll have a place at the Meadowlands.
Meadowlands, that's right.
But I mean, Meadowlands is North Jersey,
Atlantic and it's like a broom closet in the back, right?
It's not even a broom closet. It's an un so.
Put your request. Slide your request under the door. A little mouse drags it and takes it.
There's no sign for PointsBet. You have to know where to go. You have to go to this unmarked customer service window,
which always seems legit.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So
if there's anything we know about legitimate operations, you go to the unmarked thing.
You go to the unmarked thing and you tell them you're there for PointsBet, and then they walk over to another window. Which is completely unmanned at any other time. Unpersoned. Am I allowed to say unmanned anymore? It's unpersoned.
Yeah.
And unstaffed. Let's go with
that. Unstaffed. There we go.
And, you know, like, I mean, it is the most rinky dink. Like, I love points, but they are my favorite sports book in New Jersey. They're not quite a bookmaker, but in New Jersey, they are the best that we have, in my opinion. And, you know, if you want cash, it's a shit show. Like, you have to be willing to ACH in and out if you want to do business with them. But now, once Bally's turns over, we're going to have a proper points bet window. So I'm excited for that.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I want to wrap up soon, so that way I have enough time to try to flip this and actually get it into the feed on a calendar day that is Thursday, even though I can't imagine. I'm sure there's a few diehards that'll listen to it as soon as they see it hit their feed. But Eric will listen to it as soon as it hits his feed, even though he was a part of the podcast when it was recording.
But it's as much of a surprise to me as it is to everybody else what's going to be in the show. You have to cut so much out of these conversations.
I have
no idea what's going
to
make it.
You're going to start laughing when we get to a point where we're still talking about concerts 15 minutes into that conversation. You're going to be like, oh, well, I guess we kept this part in.
Maybe shouldn't have. Maybe release a shorty just so, you know, we get somewhat relevant and you don't get more one-star reviews.
Look, as we mentioned at the top, Eric was kind enough to join me for a little special episode to fill the feed for the community. We don't know when we can expect him back, but I imagine when a special circumstance comes around again, I hope that we can call upon you to make an appearance.
The pleasure is mine, Tim.
it wouldn't be an episode with you if it wasn't.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mama Dr. Mike. Get well soon. You can bet on that. We're here for you. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed the gambling podcast that was about 25% gambling and 75% nonsense. But on behalf of Eric Rosenthal, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.